We have a little title to the message this morning. I don't have a title very often, but the title we want to present to you is A Healthy, Productive Church. I would that the whole congregation were here today, but we can't hardly wait until they're all back. So, those of you that are here, we pray that the Lord will bless it, and maybe it can go out from here and be a help to others. I gave two or three messages a short time ago, starting with this particular scripture in Acts, the 5th chapter, verse 20. I'm just going to read the part out of it. You don't have to turn and read it if you don't want to. But it says, "Go, stand, and speak to the people all of the words of this life." So this morning that came to me again, and I'm starting out with that particular little passage, that I believe the Lord is desiring for us to speak to the people the words of this life. I also spoke about the scripture over in Ecclesiastes about goads and nails. And what goads were, the definition is like a stick that will urge on cattle. And that scripture is given there for you and me. A goad would be to be motivated. For us to be motivated in how to be motivated, or to be urged on. Nails, we all know what a nail does. It holds things together. And this morning, as the Lord re-inspired those two thoughts to me, he did it in this way, that the goad would represent the Spirit, and a nail would represent the Word of God or the doctrine of God. It's ever there. It's held together. And yet you and I need to be urged on. So what makes up a healthy body? I have a lot of scriptures, and I want to say in the beginning of this that the scripture does say for everything to be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and I believe that the scriptures will verify that there is an establishment of this teaching this morning. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, we're going to be looking at verses 2, part of 3 through 5, 7, 8, and 10. Verse 2 says, "Unto the church of God, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, grace be unto you." First part of verse 3. And then verse 4, "I thank my God always in your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." Thank the Lord. Verse 5. "That in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge." Skip down to 7. "That ye may come behind in no gift." Verse 8. "That ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then verse 10. "And now I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." First step to a healthy body or church. Very explicit description here in this, In order for us to have a healthy, productive church of God, this is going to have to be like the word says here. We have to speak the same things. When two different messages are being, or thoughts are being, opposite thoughts. I'm not talking about two single ones. I'm talking about where there are opposite opinions, if you will. It only creates confusion, and it will bring darkness. So we want something that's healthy, something that is full of light, something that will be productive, something that will be established, something that will be settled, will be a strong foundation. And the first step is we speak the same things. The next one is no divisions. Divisions are an abomination unto God. He does not like for his people to be divided. We are living in a time where there are divisions. We can't deny it. God's not pleased. Make sure that we are not divided with the true body. We're talking about a healthy, productive church of God. We cannot be divided. The scripture says that a house divided against itself cannot stand. So when you look at this and you say, well, what about the division that we see? You have to have a vision of the true church of God. There is a church. There is a body. There is a remnant. Those that are made up of that are those that are saved. We know this. This is teachings and doctrines that are solid. And we're not trying to cut people off. We're not trying to say you're in and you're out. We're not saying that at all. God's doing it. So he has a productive, healthy body this morning. And these are some of the things that identifies it. He wants it to be perfectly joined together, of the same mind and of the same judgment. Now let's go to another scripture. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We're going to look at verses 14 through 16. That henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love and growing up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, the last part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is where our thought is this morning, is a body that is healthy and productive is going to be edifying itself. Yes. In love. Yes. Without it, we will not be built up. This word edified, I want to give you a... I'm sure that you understand what edify means, but it's good for us to look them up and give meanings to words. It comes from a Latin word, a base word that says to build. That's what it means, to edify. So the Lord is desiring this, his body, to be built up. Now, it says increased, to be increased, maketh increase of the body. For it to be increased, does that simply mean we have to be larger in number? I don't believe that's what he's talking about. For that to be established, we'd have to have another scripture that said we had to be the greatest number of all of the people of the earth. But the contrary part of that is The scripture says we will be the fewest. And you can produce many witnesses to that scripture. The scripture says many are called, few are chosen. Yes. It speaks about many will go in thereat. Few will choose the straight and narrow way. So that's not talking about, the increase is not talking about that we are of an X number of people and that makes us the church of God, that makes us healthy, that makes us strong. It means that you and I are strong in strength and power of the Holy Ghost. That is so much more important than numbers. God is desiring a healthy church to be, and as I said already, strengthened and established and settled and abounding in the work of the Lord and ready. Ready for what? Ready to give an answer of the hope that you have within you. This is what makes a healthy church of God. Don't look at the numbers. You and I will be very discouraged if we look at the numbers. Look at the growth. Look at the strength. He's desiring that you and I come together to gain strength, to be built up. It also meant, in one translation, it said, ultimate building up. Another definition says this. I like this one. Improving of the mind, especially in a religious sense. Somebody had a little vision of what edifying meant, and they put that as a definition in a dictionary. So how do we do that? How are we built up? I believe that's the message we have this morning, that the Lord is desiring for his healthy body. Turn with me now to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, we could say edify to love and good works. Provoke to love and good works. I remember, and I may have told this here before, but I remember one time when one of my children, I was having difficulty in correcting her, and I had purposed to seek the Lord. Everyone had gone to bed. I was sitting up by myself, crying out to the Lord. And I opened up my Bible, and my eyes fell upon this passage right here. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you know how to provoke her to anger. Learn how to provoke to love and good works. Now, I'm going to say that as human beings, in our personalities, we're different in personalities and expressions. Sometimes you and I will be perceived in a way that we have no intentions of being that way. The enemy sometimes will take advantage of even a comment that is made, and somebody else will receive an offense. God's not pleased with that. But I want to say, you and I, when we know if we are an offense, we need to learn how not to be. That's how for the church of God to be healthy. A number of years ago, my first call where it is before I was even in the ministry, working at the school at Guthrie, and I've told this before, but I was so blessed of the Spirit of the Lord that I just had a spiritual high every day when I came home. And the Lord did that for a reason, because he knew I would meet opposition. And if you're in the work of the Lord, or whatever you're in, when God leads you to start out with a wonderful, euphoric beginning, It's to help you to look back on it when things do change. Well, as time would have it and as situations would have it, and I had an individual working with me there that came up to me and said, I want to tell you what a trial you are to me. And I said, and the truth was, I could have said, you're a trial to me too. I didn't say that. And it's not wise to say that. That doesn't make for a healthy church to retaliate in any way. And so I said, if you will tell me how I'm a trial to you, I will stop. Whatever it is, I will stop. They wouldn't tell me. Well, they came back a second time and a third time and the fourth time. The fourth time was at the Guthrie meeting, and actually we were visiting after church, and they told it to me again. You just don't know what a trial you are to me. And I begged every time, I begged this person, please just tell me, I'll stop. You know what? I never did find out. And it caused me to be very, a little bit withdrawn and cautious. I was afraid to be around this person. I was afraid to talk. I didn't know what I was doing that was an offense and that made me a trial. When we are in the church of God, we still have our human characteristics and personalities and maybe even family ways. And God still wants to bring us all into a place, but he wants us to be sensitive to one another and to recognize I can be a trial to somebody and somebody else can be a trial to me. But you don't use those conflicts of just personality where it's not sin. You don't allow it to come in and hinder fellowship of the Spirit. See, we need a fellowship of the right Spirit and look to that more than his quirky ways or my quirky ways. You know, we have to bear long with each other in these kind of things. This makes for a healthy church of God. And when we can recognize those things, we will begin to edify one another to love and good works, or provoke you and me. You can provoke me to love you even more. I can provoke you to love me even more. And that's what makes a healthy body. And the Lord is desiring it for us to be come to the unity of the faith. You're coming to it. Thank the Lord. Then the next verse here says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, of ourselves together. What about that? Why do we meet together? We have a schedule. It's out on the board facing the street. It says that you and I meet at this particular time and this particular time and this particular time, and that is a schedule. And periodically throughout the year we have our revival meetings, and we announce that out there, and we announce it here, and that's a schedule. God is pleased. Maybe there was a time that there was not a church house, but the people met in homes. They still assembled together. This makes for a healthy church of God, to come together. Now, the scripture tells us that it was by the foolishness of preaching that he chose to save those that would believe. That means that I'm going to be preaching Others are going to be preaching to believers. They're not all going to be sinners. There's going to be services of us coming together where we have not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together because I need something.
That's right.
I need what you are going to give. I need my fellowship with you where you're provoking me to love and good works, where you're edifying me. Do you see the importance of this plan for my spiritual upbuilding and for a healthy body? This is the plan. I didn't make it up. God made it up. He knew us as human beings of the earth that we would not be able to bear long if we got saved, if we were forgiven of our sins and just sit out there to be alone. He doesn't want you and me to be an island off to ourselves. He does not want us to be isolated. We spoke a little bit. The inspiration of Wednesday night is the root of these thoughts. Although I'd been having these thoughts for some time, but we need each other. We just need each other. We need the Lord the most. But I need you, and you need me. Now, we've preached some messages recently on the body, on the church, on the gifts in the body, how that He sets every member in there as pleaseth Him for the function of the body, for the growth, for the edifying of the body, the Scripture says, for the building up of it. So, for a healthy church, we need to come together and we need to have a schedule, and we need to have times of worship, and we need to be there as much as we can. Okay, now I'm going to give you what the Word says about some solemn charges. And I found this solemn. If you'll turn with me to Acts, the 20th chapter. I'm going to be looking at 28 through 31. Okay, it says, take heed. Anytime you see a verse starts out with something like this, it means you take special note. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all of the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to do something. What does it say to do?
Feed the church of
God. You know, you and I need to feed each other.
That's right.
We need to be fed through all parts of our services. We come together, we believe that the Holy Ghost is the leader, ordainer, if you will, of our services. We believe that even the songs are called under the order of the Holy Spirit. Do we not believe this? Do we believe it? Has a song been called and it absolutely meet your need? Or speak to you as though it were a message? Haven't we heard that there's a message in every song? We believe that our songs are written under the power of the Holy Spirit. And they can be anointed of the Holy Spirit. But He wants the church of God to be fed and edified, built up, strengthened, established. He wants it to be a healthy body.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. And this is how. This is how. I'm going to give you a solemn charge now. Take heed to yourself and take heed to the flock. To feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Let me see if I go past this, if I've written other scriptures down to 31. For I know this, that after my departing, Shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock? What does that tell me? I'm going to say this morning, and I do not mean to boast, and I hope that you will not judge me as boasting. But I say it to those that could be over a flock someday. Follow my example. I can hardly leave the congregation. I can't hardly do it. If I am gone from the congregation, I want to tell you my heart is just heavy the whole time. Because this is my burden and my concern is for the people. And it's not that I don't trust the ministers that are here. It's that my heart is here. And that's what God is wanting. He wants us to have such a protection, a feeling of desiring to protect the little flock, as though I would protect my own little family. Because there are spirits out there, and there are, it says grievous wolves would like to come in and would like to take away the little flock. I'm going to tell you, and maybe I've told it before, but it comes to my mind and I feel inspired to tell it. It was long before I was in the ministry. I did not know I was going to be in the ministry. But God gave me a dream. I was awake all night, could not sleep. About 5 o'clock in the morning, I got out of bed and went and laid on the sofa. I literally went to sleep like that, had the dream, and woke up like that. God sent it. I woke up in a cold sweat of terror. I dreamed that the front doors opened and there were two men and one woman without faces. We did not know who they were. And we did not see the horses, but we had the understanding that they were going to run horses through the congregation to kill us. And so the congregation ran and got in this Sunday school room right here. And there was no lock on the door, but they could not open it. And so they started trying to beat a hole in the door. And they beat a hole in the door the size of a basketball about waist high. There was horrible noise out here in the congregation. And I was the one that stood between everyone and this, whatever was happening out here. I was the one. And soon, all got quiet. And so we went over, the ones that were with, and we bent down and looked out the hole. And there was only two couples sitting out here, right here. And right back there where Linda is. And I woke up. I puzzled over it for years. I had no interpretation of it, but I saw that dream come to pass. And God used that dream. He revealed it to me, what all it meant, and there came a time he did call me to this place of protection. And I have loved this little congregation. God wants us to be overseers of care. So this is our admonishment. Take heed. You have a charge. You've got to feed the congregation. But you've got to watch out for them. You've got to watch for their souls, because there's grievous wolves that would come in and not spare the flock. By the way, the Lord showed me that the three individuals, two men and one woman without faces, we were fighting three separate spirits. Two of those spirits was as strong as men. One spirit was a weaker spirit that didn't really have predominance like the other two. It turned out that way. Okay, and it says, verse 30. Let me see, where am I going in this? I've got to look at my notes now. Where am I? To 31, okay. Oh, I'm just going to give you the first part of 31. It says, therefore watch. That's all I'm going to say out of that verse. Therefore watch. For us to have a healthy congregation or body, you're going to have to watch also for yourself. You can't depend on somebody else to watch entirely for you. Oh, I think that you can depend on the Lord to cause that to be a safeguard. But I want to tell you, each one of us have to watch for our own souls too. Okay, now let's go to 1 Peter. One more solemn charge. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. I said I had quite a few scriptures. I am one that likes scriptures. I know you know that. Okay, it starts out, and I'm just going to give the first part of verse 1 because I want it to have its impact. It says, the elders which are among you I exhort. So this is for us this morning. Verse 2 says, feed the flock of God. That's a charge. Which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. The Lord does not want his ministers to do it because they have to do it. God wants us to be willing to watch for a congregation. He wants us to not be forced. He says, but do it willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Don't do it for the money. I'm going to tell you that money is a part of it. That's how God ordained it. The scriptures, it can be established also that the laborer is worthy of his hire. Yes. He has places that fully instructs in that. But I want to tell you that it better not be our sole purpose. It better not color how we preach or affect how I treat individuals. I mustn't ever be, well, God forbid, show partiality to somebody that might give me an offering. This is how to have a healthy church, a healthy body. Don't keep your eyes on the earthly things. I'm going to tell you that the first time I ever got an offering, I had not even thought of it, that it was going to ever be a part of it. I always felt like, well, the Lord, my husband has a job and he supplies our needs and that's just fine. And it never crossed my mind that I would have an offering. And it was actually in another congregation somewhere else that we had visited. And so here they came with an offering. And I said, what? I said, I can't take that. I said, you just send that to some man minister. He probably needs it more than I do. I refused it. Well, my Aunt Margaret found out that I did that. She gave me a call and she gave me instructions. So I'm going to give the instructions that she gave me. She said, you are to receive it because the Word of God says this. And she said, now what you do with it after you receive it is your business. If you want to turn around and give it to somebody, but to refuse it from an offering is so wrong. So I had to be admonished. I had to be instructed. And I'm going to leave those instructions with the two ministers that are here this morning. Receive it graciously and be thankful. And then whatever you want to do with it after that, that's between you and God. Okay? So it says, not for filthy lucre. The minister that stands before a congregation should never be doing it for money. X amount of dollars. Well, if they don't give me this, then I've got to have more. Lord forbid. It says, but of a ready mind. And then look at verse 3. We're still talking about a healthy church of God. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples or ensamples to the flock. I want to tell you the Lord taught me that early. And I'm going to tell you how he taught me that. An individual came to my house and they told me what they had decided to do. And they said, now if you see anything that about my life, I want you to come and tell me. And they had already made up their mind what they were going to do. And I didn't say anything. And so they left. And I was very burdened, and I got down on my knees at the sofa there and I started praying, and God spoke to me as plainly as he ever did. He said, I did not make you a policeman. You know what? God doesn't want his ministers to be policemen. He doesn't want us to go around policing your life and your life. Well, let's go in your closet and I'll help you see what you need to wear and what you don't need. God is not pleased with that. You and I are not the Holy Ghost. Don't ever forget that. We're talking about a healthy church of God. The Lord doesn't want me to be a lord over you. He doesn't want other ministers to be a lord over anybody. If you see something, if I see something that the Lord puts a burden on my heart about, you know what happens? We go to our closet. We take it to the Lord. And I have seen the Lord work, but it takes time. The Holy Spirit is working with every individual, and God has a right to do that. It never works to be hasty in placing judgments on other people. Never works. We've had situations in this congregation, and we were troubled about it. Others were troubled too. They would come to me concerned. My answer was always, let's pray a little bit longer. There came a time that it had to be dealt with, but not until God said deal with it. There's a price that we pay. There is a price that is paid. I'll put it that way. Not we pay. There is a price that is paid any time you have to deal with souls and their families. There's a price. There will come a time, God says, it's time. But if you do it prematurely, then it's not healthy. It creates a wound that will never heal. And that's not healthy. So he does not make us lords over his heritage. And then verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now let's go to another thought. This is the will of the Father now. Jeremiah 3:15. For the sake of time, if somebody will get the next two scriptures for me, I'll move on to the next one. I want Jeremiah 3 and 15 and Jeremiah 23 and 4. Because I've just given you what the solemn charge is to the ministers. Now let's look at what the will of the Father is concerning that. Jeremiah
Jeremiah 3 and 15, and I will give you pastors.
And I will give you pastors.
According to mine heart.
According to mine heart.
Which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
Shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Foolishness of preaching. We do give knowledge and we do give understanding. It's up to you now whether you receive it or reject it. It's not that I'm going to come out and get you by the throat and say, you better receive this or you're going to be lost. Because God knows how to work with every soul to bring them to a place of receiving better than I do. Okay? Is that all of that verse?
Yes.
23 and 4.
And
I will set up shepherds over you. Now we're talking about the will of the Father for a healthy church.
Which shall feed them.
Which shall feed them.
And they shall fear no more.
Listen, this is the part I want to get across to you this morning. You don't have to fear anymore. When it's being led of the Holy Spirit, let it not be of mine own mind, Moses said. Moses said he didn't lead those people out because it was in his own mind. He said it was the mind of the Spirit. That's how this needs to be too for it to be healthy. So you don't have to be afraid, okay? Or what?
Nor be dismayed.
Nor dismayed.
Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord.
Neither shall there be what?
Lacking.
Lacking. He doesn't want there to be a lack in his body, in the food. He wants us to be edifying, building up. So that's the will of the Father. Now let's talk about the members just a little bit. I hope you can bear with us a little bit. We'll try not to be too long. 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, verse 26. The latter part of this says, let all things be done unto edifying. And we're going to come back to that scripture, but I wanted just to give you that thought. And I want you to apply the word all. Let everything that we do in our services be for the purpose of building up and not tearing down. Have you ever heard of, and I say heard because I have not witnessed it in this congregation, where people may preach or teach or testify to try to get a message across to somebody. That happens. I want to tell you, God's not pleased. That is not led of the Holy Spirit. I remember one time, many years ago, I was still being taught of the Holy Spirit. I preached a message one Sunday night. There was problems in the congregation, and I defended myself from the pulpit with the scripture. There were probably only two or three in the congregation that knew what I meant, but they knew. I was not out the gate when we left, and the Lord convicted me. I didn't say anything to Lorne Vance. The Lord was just really convicting me and showing me, you defended yourself. Pretty soon he said, Lorne said, I wish you hadn't said such and such. And I knew I was exposed. And I started crying out to the Lord. We got home. I got on my knees. I started saying, Lord, what do I do? You see what I've done. The Lord spoke to me and he said, you called Dennis, was making the tapes at that time. And he says, you called Dennis. It was 11 o'clock at night. You called Dennis and you tell him, erase that tape. Dennis never even asked me why. I said it to him. He said, count it done. And then I went back to my knees and I said, but Lord, what about the others? that didn't know, he says, write them a letter and confess it. I wrote a letter to and sent it to everyone in the congregation, and I told them that I had defended myself. Many of them that didn't know, they said, oh, the devil just accused you, but the devil didn't. But you have to cover your bases when the Holy Ghost says, this is what you've done. You've got to clear it. See? It was not edifying. It did not build up. It was tearing down. For us to have a healthy body, we've got to edify and build up. I want to say something, and Lord, help our little congregation. Our little congregation has been an edifying congregation. And I have said that to others, not in boasting. But I appreciate this little congregation. And I want you to know it. I want you to know the Lord wants to bless us even more. He wants us to be strong and healthy. And He wants us to be built up. And I said this to Rule. I need some Kleenex. Oh, here's some. The Lord showed us a number of years ago that this congregation was to be like a hospital. And down through the years, it has been that way. We've had people that would be offended in other places and come here. It was our purpose that they be able to go back to their own place. But we were to provide a place of healing. And I would say that to the congregation periodically. I've witnessed the little congregation here being that kind of people, willing to bear and willing to help heal people's lives. I've witnessed it in all of the years that we've been here. And I believe that God has been pleased. So that this passage says, let all things be done for the purpose of edifying or for building up. Building up one another. Now, I'm going to change just a little bit. Hope you can get this all together. 1 Corinthians 14. Now I'm going to give you how our assemblies build up. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, 23 through 26 says this, if the whole church be come together, and I've got a reason for emphasizing some of these things by the end of the message, I hope you understand. If the whole church be come together, and if you don't mind, I want to skip on down because that's the address here. If all prophesy, I have written above prophesy, testify. Because we're all not going to prophesy, but we can all testify. And if there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. I want to say that that can happen on a Wednesday night. God can be working with an individual, and your testimony of how God is working in your life and how He's brought you through the trials or the test or just how He taught you or enlightened you, all of these kind of things are to work for the benefit of helping somebody else. That's what it's for. It's for you too, but it is for your brother and your sister and anyone else that walks in. And I have thought about this with the people that walk in here for a handout and they have to sit back there and they have to listen to what is being said. I have thought, Lord, could there be one thing said that could penetrate those people that are frauds? We haven't found a true one yet that has sought out salvation as a result of the love of the congregation. We haven't found one in all of the years they've been here. We've been here. This is what this is talking about now. When the whole church comes together, when everybody is together, but if all testify and there come in somebody, then the secrets are made manifest, and he will worship God and he will report that God is in you of a truth. That's a healthy congregation when they can say, I know there's a right spirit here. I have witnessed a right spirit. Thank the Lord. How is it then, brethren, that you come together, every one of you? Do you all have a psalm? Do you have a doctrine? Do you have a tongue or a revelation or an interpretation? In other words, these are things that work in the congregation. Do you come and speak from your heart? Do you come and you've had a song when you were at home? Bring it and use it to edify, to build up. It says, let all things be done unto edifying. See, that's where I started. It's for the purpose of building up. Now, Ephesians 5, I'm sorry. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, 17 through 20. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Lord wants us to be wise. Verse 19. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. What are we doing? What does that mean? It says, don't be unwise, be understanding. When we come together, this is how the services operate. We give thanksgivings and we sing spiritual psalms and hymns, and we do these things. There is something in it that is edifying and will build up. Thank the Lord. We come with our thanksgivings. We pray and we have our thanksgivings also. 1 Thessalonians now. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 11. And this is what it says. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. You see, what we're establishing is that the methods that the Lord has used to edify the body in itself, in love, that's what the scripture said. You edify yourself, yourselves in love. And so, the 5th chapter in verse 11, it goes on, and edify one another, even also as ye do. How can we get past these scriptures? There's so many. I'm not giving you all of them. The cry of the Spirit is, you build each other up. That's how we have a healthy church of God. We build each other. The last scripture in that one is Romans 14 and 9. And this scripture says, 19 rather, I'm sorry. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Okay, that's our scriptures. One other thought came to me like this. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And what else?
The
word of their testimony. Now, does that mean that this is the only place you're going to testify or can testify? Absolutely not. A healthy church will go out and give those same testimonies in your life and by your word. That's a healthy church. But it's important that this also take place. What I'm trusting is that you will remember this message. Should you hear, and I have heard, and you have too. When you hear things like this, oh, when we go to camp meeting, we're just preaching to one another. You ever heard that? Every time I heard it, my heart sank. I would just feel a cloud come over me. And I'd think, well, what are we doing here if we're just preaching to one another? And I always left with an accusation. But since the Lord has revealed this to me, I won't anymore. This is the will of the Father. That we be in an assembly. And we be active in an assembly. That we feed one another. It is the will of the Father. Too many scriptures say it. So I'm not going to ever be, and I don't want you to be either, when that thing is said from whatever thought process that they had, that all we're doing here is preaching to one another. You say, that's true, brother. Because the word says to do it.
Right.
To build up.
Yeah.
To strengthen. To establish. To settle. And it's the way he chose to do it. Says he chose it to save those that believe. You and I need saving all the time. From ourselves. So when you hear somebody say, well, they're just passing fruit back and forth on Wednesday night. Don't receive it. You and I better pass some fruit back and forth on Wednesday night. It's the Word of God. It's established. And again, it's not just a one-sided coin. There is another side. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And whatever your world is, that's your responsibility. Our world is my community where I am, my neighbors, wherever I am. That's your world. And it was already said, spoken about Sister Flynn, that she preached a message with her life. And so we go out from this place. Wednesday night, I get refueled. Don't you?
Yes.
I come here on Wednesday night. Most of us are tired. And I leave better than when I came. God wants us to do that.
Yes.
Your testimonies, even when I see you lift your hand in song, I rejoice. It does something to me. I am blessed. And you know what I do? I've told you all this. When I see you lift your hand up, I look back at the verse of that song, what we're saying. Oh, that part means something to them. That's what I'm saying. That builds me up. Let's be active so that we have a healthy congregation, a healthy church of God. The scriptures plainly tell us to lift up our hands, to lift up holy hands. It says it.
Yes.
in more than one place. It's established. If you're shy, seek for boldness of the Holy Ghost and grace. And let me say something else. And I don't say it to charge anyone or draw attention. I don't mean anything, but we need to be admonished and built up. We need to be more active in our amens. The church of God is losing it. All you have to do is get some old tapes and listen to the support of the ministry while the word is going forth. You'll hear those ministers saying, strong support. I want to tell you, the devil stands back when there is strong support for a message. We need to seek the Lord. Lord, help me that I can be that support. That I can say the amens, that I can support the messages. I want to tell you, Sister Velda supported the messages. And I missed it. I missed her. It's so important. The enemy does not like it. I'm going to say a little bit more, and I'm not condemning. I'm just talking about a healthy body. When we get down to pray, we need more agreement. Maybe you say, well, I'm agreeing in my heart. It really helps that one that is praying to hear somebody else say, yes, Lord. Amen. Oh, I went through all of the shy, embarrassed. First time I ever said, praise the Lord, I thought, oh my, I wonder who all saw me and heard me. And it does that. It does that to us. We're talking about a healthy body. Let's be active from the heart, not put on. I'm not talking about anything. And again, I'm not being a Lord. The Holy Ghost is going to have to prompt it, or it's of no value. If you do it for me, we're no better than the little group we saw at that funeral. No better. Most of that was prompted to please some man. Pray for me.